Well, first of all, I want to say thank you for the opportunity to be able to stand before you tonight and preach. I look forward to what the Lord has for us. And the book of Ecclesiastes brings a lot of great memories, or one in particular, when my dad got saved years and years ago. He's with the Lord now. He began to read his Bible. And I said, "Dad, what are you reading?" And he said, "Oh, I love the book of Ezra, and I love the book of Ecclesiastes." And I thought, well, praise the Lord. I'm glad you're reading the Bible, but it's something special. It's just a special memory I have with my dad, that when he first got saved and he was growing in the Lord. And aren't you? Hey, they can get it wrong sometimes. That's all right. They're in the right place. I remember when I first got saved, I came in to the office one time. Brother Sam, you were here. You were in your office, and we were talking about the Bible. And I said, "I'm reading through the book of 2 Chronicles." He said, "Oh, that's great." I said, "I love King Hezekiah," and he just looked at me like, "What?" I said, "Hezekiah." He goes, "You mean Hezekiah?" I said, "I guess that's what I mean. It's all good stuff, but praise the Lord, and thank the Lord for that." I want to draw your attention to verse number 1, if you'll read it with me, and then verse number 7. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, and verse number 1, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." And then drop down to verse number 7, if you would, please. The Bible says, "Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it." I want you to underline, if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, in verse number 1, it says the word "now." It's the second word of the verse. And then in verse number 7, the first word "then." And I want to preach on this subject tonight: live now for then. Live this day for that day. Let's pray together. May we? Father, we love you tonight, and we need you. I need you. I pray that you take me as your vessel, Lord, that you'd fill me with thy spirit. And Lord, speak to our hearts tonight. Thank you for the joy it is to be in the house of God tonight with the family of God. I pray that we would meet together around your word and that you would feed us. Lord, we love you. We pray that you'd take this time and that you draw us close to yourself. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Remember now thy Creator. And then in verse 7, "then shall the dust return to the earth as it was." Several weeks ago, my wife had bought me a brand new suit. She said, "I want you to look good when you go to church." I was like, okay. So we went to the store, to Macy's, and she picked me out a new suit. And I wore it to church the very next Sunday. And I felt like $1 million. I got done with Sunday school, and I made my way from the Sunday school class over to the auditorium, and some of you are in here, "Oh, you look so handsome and you look so nice." And I was like, "Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. I feel good. New suit, man, I feel like $1 million. And my wife was talking to some of the ladies, and my wife came to me after the service and she said, "You'll never guess what so-and-so said." And I'm not going to call her out because she's here tonight. She said to my wife, "That is a really nice suit that Kevin is wearing." She said, "I know. You know, he should be buried in it." Miss Faith Jensen, we love you, okay? Man, what a thing to say, but you know, it gets you thinking, doesn't it? Somebody one day is going to have to make that decision. What is he going to wear? What pictures are going to go up on the slideshow? And I'm not trying to be doomsday tonight, but it is a fact of life that death is a fact of life. And one day our lives will come to an end. And here we come to the book of Ecclesiastes, and Solomon reminds us tonight that the best way to make the most of your life is to think about the day of your death. You think about where King Solomon is at this very moment in his life. He's writing near the very end of his life. He has three books that have been attributed to him. Of course, he wrote the book of the Song of Solomon when he was young and he was in love. At the height of his reign, the book of Proverbs, which is wisdom for everyday life. But then he comes to the end of his life, a man full of regret. And he writes the book of Ecclesiastes. I remind you tonight that the book of Ecclesiastes talks about somebody who lives their life apart from God. Vanity of vanity, saith the preacher, all is vanity. In other words, life under the sun apart from God is empty. The literal word there means as if you're chasing the wind. Vanity, it's empty. You can reach for it. Life apart from God is vanity and vexation of spirit. Consider Solomon tonight. He had his hands full. He had everything anyone could ever hope to have. He was the wisest man in the world, but he also, that came with that, he was one of the richest people in the world, and he had everything that he could have possibly wanted. You think about it, he had the best food that he, that's why does my mind go to food, the very first thing, but he had the best food that he could have wanted. His house, the mansion that he lived in, his temple was amazing. As a matter of fact, the Queen of Sheba came over and she said, what? The half has not been told. Solomon had his hands full. He could have everything and anything that his heart desired, he could get it for himself. His house was full. His hands were full. His house was full. He had relationships. He had people constantly doing what he wanted them to do. At every beck and order and call, he had a full house. Think about it. His hands were full. His house was full. His head was full of the wisdom of all the ages. He's the one that penned, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lead not into thine own understanding in all thy ways. Acknowledge him and he shall direct thy path. He had a full hands. He had a full house. He had a full head. But we come to the end of his life, but he had a heart that was empty, because he learned to live life apart from God. The more that he reached for the sand of life, the more it slipped through his fingers. We learn from Solomon that it's possible to be a wise fool. You know, tonight it is possible to be an educated moron. People live their lives with no regard for the God that gave them that life. Solomon gets to the end of his life and he's saying these things, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth. Then he says in verse 7, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Solomon is coming down to the conclusion of the whole matter. He is an older man nearing the end of his life. He comes to the conclusion. He leaves the key at the back door. Look at verse number 13 of Ecclesiastes chapter number 12. The Bible says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. He gets to the end of his life. He begins the book of Ecclesiastes as the preacher. As a matter of fact, verse number 1 of chapter 1 says, the words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. What is the sermon that this preacher is preaching? Life apart from God under the sun brings vanity and vexation of spirit. He admonishes us in chapter 12 to live now for then. One day our life will come to a close. One day our life will be over, and the challenge that we're learning from tonight is to live this day, today, for that day. The day that you're going to meet God, the day that you're going to stand before him face to face, live today for that day. Live now for then. Live this day for that day. Solomon gives us two of the most important times in our life, and that is today and then that day. Now and then. Now is opportunity, then is inevitability. Now urges devotion, then declares destiny. Now, today is your choice, then is your consequence. Now is the time to seek God, then is when you meet him. Now is when you sow, then is when you reap. Today, now the door is open, then the door is closed. Now is an invitation, then is an inevitability. Now is what you have today. Then always comes sooner than you think. Live now for then. Most people live now for now. Wise people live now for then. That is the moment you stand face to face with God. What would you do if you were going to meet God in the next 30 minutes? How would your life change? Because one day, it's inevitable, we have a meeting one day with God. We're going to stand before him as it is appointed unto man once to die. But after this, the judgment, we are going to meet God one day. And the challenge tonight is live now for then. A little while ago, several years ago actually, I was standing in a courtroom, and I was there for the family in the church that we were working with at the time, and I watched as different people came and they spoke. They stood before the judge. And as I was sitting there, this older gentleman came before the judge. He called him to the stand, and he was an older man. He was 65 years old, and he'd been in trouble. He'd been in trouble for stealing, for theft, and now 8 times. I remember the judge talking to him, and I was shocked to see everything that was going on. And he told him, here is the sentence that is given to you. You're going to spend a year in prison for the crimes that you've committed. And he was going to turn himself in, and he was going to go to jail. And the judge said to this man, he said, aren't you a little old to be stealing? And the man looked down at the floor. He said, yes, sir. Yes, your honor. He said, you're 65 years old. You're going to jail for a year. And by the way, if you get in trouble from now until the time you go into jail, you're going to spend 2 years in jail. Do you understand that, sir? Yes, your honor. I understand. And I'll never forget the words that the judge said after that. They stuck with me. He said these words. He looked at that man and he said, after that, the balance of your life is up to you. What you have left of your life. And that begs the serious question tonight. What are you doing with the life that God has given you? What are you doing with the balance of your life? We don't need to laugh our way through life and decide to wake up near the end to get serious about God. Listen, this Christian life is amazing. We can laugh, we can have fun, we can enjoy each other, but at the end of the day, there's a devil that's trying to make you and I disappear. So there are some things we need to be sober-minded about, serious about. So tonight, I want you to listen to the old man in the book of Ecclesiastes. Live today, live this day for that day. Life is not about ownership, it is about stewardship. And what will you do with the remaining balance of your life? Let's walk through this text tonight. I want you to consider, first of all, the acknowledgement of your life. How many of you would say that you agree that life is fast? It's quick. Life is fast. I just turned 39, okay? And it's interesting to me when you're a kid. I'm 9. Oh, I'm 9 and a half. I'm 10, that's double digits now, and I'm 9 and a half, I'm 10, I'm 11, but it seems the older you get, and now you're turning 39 like spoiled milk or something like that. Life is fast, it's quick. Look at chapter 12, verse number 1. Remember now thy creator, watch what it says, in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. You have the days of your youth, and then you have the evil days. It's not talking about the days being evil, but you come to the place in your life where you realize that you have fewer days left in your life. You know, you never realize how little you have until you start spending it. And I'm standing here tonight, I'm 39 years old, and I can't believe how quickly it seems that I've gotten to 39. You know, the days, they seem to go by so slowly, but the years, they go by so quickly. They go by so rapidly. In my mind, I feel like, man, I'm still a 20-year-old, but if you watch me on the basketball court, you'd know that is not a true thing. My mind says, yes, I can play another game. Yes, I can keep going up and down the court, but my body is quick to remind me, no, you cannot. It seems like just yesterday, and that I was coming in on the bus, that old rickety church bus that used to pick me up. And Marcella and Jeff, they were my Sunday school teachers there in the sixth grade. And the loud Italian man, Brother Cuso, was my junior church preacher. And I remember that. Then I graduated into pastor's class. And he said, I remember sitting in his class in the old auditorium there. And he said, in this class, in the next 5 or 6 years of your life, you're going to make the most important decisions of your life that are going to shape the rest of your life. And I thought, man, that seems like such a long time ago. But I want you to know it's gone by so quickly. I'm knocking on the door 40. By the way, next year when it's my 40th birthday, Lord willing, I'm going to take a sabbatical. I'm just going to say that, throw that out there, all right? I can't believe it. But life is so fast. It's quick. You never realize how little you have until you start spending it. Your life is like a dollar spent that can only be invested or wasted, but it cannot be gotten back or saved. You must redeem the time. Life is quick. How quickly the days move to years, how quickly the years move to the end of life. Life is fast. Secondly, life is frail. Life is frail. Solomon reminds us how fragile life can be as our bodies break down. It used to be when I was younger, I was like the elastic boy. I could just play basketball all day long and go run out and didn't even have to stretch and all those types of things. Now I have to be careful if I yawn the wrong way. I'm going to pull a muscle in my neck. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Life is frail. Solomon reminds us of how frail life can be as our bodies break down. Look at chapter 12 and verse number 2. He's going to go through the breakdown of the human body here. While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened. What is he talking about there in verse number 2? Well, the eyes start to get dim. How many of you have started using the cell phone flashlight to look at the menu at the restaurant? The eyes, they start to get dim. Look at the other part of the verse, chapter 12, verse number 2. Nor the clouds return after the rain. After the rain should be blue skies, but it seems as we get older, it's one thing after the other. One storm after the other. The clouds never roll away. It seems like this. Keep in mind, Solomon, as he's giving these conclusions, is giving these conclusions as a man who's living a life apart from God. These are conclusions under the sun. But he's concluding that, man, sometimes it can be one thing after the other. That bill got paid, and now there's another thing that needs to be fixed in the house. There's one problem, and that one gets solved, and then another problem comes. It's one thing after the other. Look at verse number 3. The Bible says, in the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble and the strong men shall bow themselves and the grinders cease because they are few and those that look out the windows be darkened. What's he talking about in verse number 3? The breakdown of the body, the keepers of the house. What are the keepers of the house? Put your dukes up. You ever notice people, as they get older, they start to shake a little bit? He's talking about the breakdown of the body. What is the strong men? The keepers of the house are the arms, the strong men, your legs. Your legs get tired. Your legs get weaker. What is he talking about? The breakdown of the body, the keepers of the house, the strong men. And here's another thing, the grinders, your teeth. Your teeth start to fall out your head. He's talking about the breakdown of the body. And then he says the windows again, the eyes. The eyes are growing dim. Keep reading in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse number 4, the Bible says this, and the doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. He's talking about the doors. He's talking about your ears. How many of you noticed as the age goes up, the hearing goes down? I'm only 39. Some of you are pointing at your spouses. That's called selective hearing, okay? But I've even noticed that my hearing is not what it used to be. I'm not yet 40 years old, and I've got ear issues already, but the ears, you start to hear less. You just don't hear as well as you used to. And then the verse number 4, it talks about rising up at the voice of the bird, and the daughters of the music shall be brought low. It's easier, I find it easier, easier and easier to get up earlier, and you sleep very light at night. The smallest sound can wake somebody up. He's talking about the breakdown of the body. Look at verse number 5 of our text. Also, when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. What's he talking about here? By the way, eternity, that's our long home. Our long home is eternity. Right now, we're in our short home. What's he talking about in this verse? As the body breaks down, as life continues and goes on, people that weren't afraid of heights now are becoming afraid of heights. Listen, I used to be a kid that loved roller coasters. I would get on the giant swing. I would do all the twirly-woos and the flips on the roller coasters. But the, a little bit older, and I still think I'm young, okay, for some of you kids. Brother Kevin was born in the 1900s. Okay, be quiet, first of all, okay? But the older I get, the less and less I want to get on the giant swing. The less and less I want to get on the roller coaster. That's a young man's game. I'm going to be fine. I'll get the meal pass. You all have a time of your life. But the older you get, the fears start to creep in. The fear of heights, the Bible's talking about here. Notice what it says here. Not only a fear of heights, but the almond tree shall flourish. What do you suppose that's talking about? Either your hair turns gray or it turns loose. I'd look right at Pastor when I said that. I love you. I was telling Brother Pat, this is a performance review tonight, so I'm in trouble. But as people get older, the almond tree, as it would come to ripeness, would have this grayish hue to it. And it's talking about the hair turning gray or turning loose. This is what happens as the years go on. Our bodies start to get more and more frail. And he's reminding us that we're on our way somewhere. We're on our way to the long home. The fear of heights, the almond tree, the grasshopper. He's talking about little things that used to be very easy becoming difficult. Grasshopper is a little thing, but now tasks seem to become more and more difficult to do. He's talking about this body breaking down. Right now, you're in your short home. Soon, you will go to be in your long home. It's good to think about the day one day when your life is going to be over. It's good to think about that day. And we're headed that way. We're headed to our long home. One day, life is not only fast, life is not only frail, but one day, life is going to be finished. Look at verse number 6. Wherever the silver cord be loosened, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. This is the breaking up of the body. When our life is over, our bodies will break down and our soul will go to God who gave it. The breaking down of the body. The only thing that is going to matter when this happens is what was on the inside. Ever since I was a teenager, at every youth conference that I've ever been to, I've heard this quote, and it rings true tonight. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ shall last. I've had the privilege at our church to be a part of a number of celebrations, of homegoings, people who've gone home to be with the Lord, funerals. And I get to go through pictures. Me and Brother Andy will put the slideshow more. Brother Andy puts the slideshow together, but we go through the pictures. And we meet with the family. And it's interesting to me that when the funeral comes, nobody ever talks about the stuff that those people had. Most recently, I think Mrs. McLean, she went home to be with the Lord. And nobody talked about the house that she had. We did talk about her car because we knew where her car was going. She was going to do something for the Lord. But nobody talks about the house. Nobody talks about the money. When it comes time to remember somebody's life, you tell people that was a godly woman. That was a godly man. That was somebody who made a difference in my life. And people come up to the platform and they stand behind the pulpit and they say, that person made a difference in my life. That person was somebody who shared the gospel with me. Listen, when this life is over, it's not going to matter your bank account. It's not going to matter the size of your house or how diversified your portfolio is. What's going to matter is, what did you choose to do with Christ? Live this day for that day. It only matters what you do with Christ. The question you need to answer is, when that day comes, are you ready to meet God? So that brings us, we have the acknowledgement of our life. Number 2, the accountability of our life. Look at verse number 7. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Daniel Webster, one of the most brilliant minds of the ages past, somebody asked him, they said, Mr. Webster, what is the greatest thought that's ever come through your mind? He didn't even hesitate. He said, the greatest thought that has ever come through my mind is my personal accountability to God. I'm reminded what it says in Hebrews in chapter, I believe it's number chapter number 9. It says, is appointed. There it is. Sorry, I need more of the whatever in that cup over there. Okay. Is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. That is an appointment that you and I cannot miss. We are accountable. You and I are accountable to God for what we do with our lives. It's interesting to me, Brother Andy's thankful for this, but he's not accountable for my life. And I'm not accountable for his life. You're not accountable for the person behind you or in front of you or around you, but you are accountable for your own life. What will you do with the life that God has given to you? We are all accountable. Look at verse number 14. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. The acknowledgement of our life, the accountability of our life. Thirdly, quickly tonight, the action of our life. Look at verse number one again. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. And say, what am I supposed to do with all this information that you've given to me, knowing that one day we're going to our long home? The simple admonition tonight is to do something today for Christ. Do something now with your life that God has given you. Maybe you're here tonight and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Let me tell you tonight, let me encourage you tonight, get saved this day. There is a great decision to be made. If you're here tonight, maybe you're listening online and you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Today is the day of salvation. Listen tonight, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Be saved today. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us have done things and thought things and said things that displease God. The Bible says we're all sinners. And the problem with that is the wages of our sin is death. Separation from God forever in a place called hell. The wages of sin is death. But there's good news. Jesus died on the cross for your sins, but God commendeth. He proved, he showed his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10 and verse number 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Maybe you're here tonight and you're not for sure that you are a child of God. Let me encourage you tonight to get saved. Do something now. Get saved today. Maybe you're here and you know that you're a believer. And you know that your sins are under the blood. But maybe it's time to get serious now. Knowing that one day our life is going to be over, we're going to our long home. We like to have fun, we like to laugh, but there are certain things that we need to do and be serious about in our Christian lives. Our walk with God is a serious matter. Our prayer life, a serious matter. Soul winning, a serious matter. Get serious about your life in Christ. Maybe you're here, you're a believer, and the Lord's been working on you. And there's some things that you need to surrender. Surrender now. Live this day today for that day. Surrender. Maybe it is that you need to speak up now. Is there somebody in your family? Is there somebody that comes across your path in different walks of life? Maybe it's a coworker. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a good buddy or a friend. Somebody that you come in contact with that you know the Lord's impressing on your heart that you ought to talk to them about the Lord Jesus. Don't wait for that moment to pass by. Speak up now. Live today for that day, because one day your friends, your coworkers, your family members, people that you come into contact with daily in daily walks of life, one day they also will have a meeting with God. We need to speak up now. Get saved now if you're not saved. Get serious. Get surrendered. Speak up. Don't wait for tomorrow. A preacher stood behind this pulpit a few years ago, and I never forgot what he said. He said, you know what the devil's favorite word is? Tomorrow. The devil's favorite word is almost or tomorrow. But God's given us a gift today. To serve him, to live for him, to do his will today. By the way, he's given you everything. He's given you and I everything that we need to do his will today. Don't wait until you have everything to do everything for everybody. Just do something for some. Do God's will today. How long will you wait to be saved? How long will you wait to get serious about your Savior? How long will you wait to live for him? How long will you continue doing what you want to do? How long will you wait to surrender to God's call on your life? How long will you wait to step out in faith and to trust God? How long will you wait to tell that loved one about Christ? Live today for that day. Live now for then. Talking about the acknowledgement of life, the accountability of life, the action of life. Another great mind of years past was a man by the name of Thomas Chalmers. He was a great mathematician. As a young man, he had a great mind for mathematics, which I do not possess. When you start adding letters and shapes instead of just numbers, you might as well just throw me a coloring book, okay? But Thomas Chalmers was a great mathematician, but he was also an agnostic. An agnostic, of course, is somebody that doubts the existence of God. Perhaps they're not sure, but he was an agnostic and a blasphemer. But God saved him. I want you to know the gospel has the power to save. As long as somebody is breathing, the gospel can still operate. God saved this mathematician, this brilliant mind. God saved him. He became a preacher and a pastor. Years went by in his life, and he was at a meeting. He had been pastoring, he'd been preaching, and during the middle of the service that he was attending later in life, a man stood and disrupted the service. He stood, and he was reading aloud some very blasphemous statements. Could you imagine? He stood, this man, reading these blasphemous statements about God, and they calmed the man, and they said, "What are you here for?" He laughed as he stood there. He said, "The things that I have just read, your preacher wrote them." He laughed and he sat down. Then Thomas Chalmers stood up. He had tears in his eyes. He said, "What this man has said is true. When I was a young man, I did write those blasphemous things. However, there were two things I had not considered when I was a young man." He said these words, "I had not considered the littleness of time, and I had not considered the greatness of eternity." The challenge tonight is to live now for then. That day is inevitable. Well, we'll meet the Lord Jesus. Well, we'll breathe our last breath. Aren't you glad for heaven, by the way? We have a home. We have a place prepared for us through the blood of Christ. But until then, we're not here to sit and play fiddlesticks or whatever that is. We're here to do something for the Lord. Spend your life for the Lord. I think about the great missionary. He said, "He is no fool to give that which he cannot keep, to gain that which he cannot lose." Jim Elliot. And so the prayer tonight for all of us, myself included, help us, Lord, to live today for that day. Live now for then. And God's people said, amen. Let's pray together. Lord, I thank you so much for the clarity of the Word of God. Lord, help us to listen to the sermon of this old man, King Solomon, who came to the end of his life and he saw all the emptiness, the vanity, the vexation of spirit. He came to the conclusion, "Remember now thy Creator." Oh Lord, tonight help us to remember our lives are short and frail. With the time, the balance of life that you've given us left, help us to spend it on eternity. Help us, Lord, to hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Let us fear God and keep his commandments. Lord, we love you tonight. Oh, help us to love you more. Help us to live for you and walk with you, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I just want to ask a couple of questions tonight. I wonder how many of you here tonight would say, "Brother Kevin, I know that I'm a Christian. I know that if I died today that my home would be in heaven, but I needed the message tonight. I'd love to pray for you. I need the admonition from the book of Ecclesiastes myself." If you're here tonight and you say, "I needed the message tonight," I'd love to pray for you. Would you just stick your hand up in the air with mine so I can pray for you? Praise the Lord. Hands up all over the building. Thank you. You may put your hands down. Maybe you're here tonight. You say, "Pastor Kevin, I'm not sure that I've ever asked Jesus to forgive my sins. I'm not sure that if my life ended today, I would have a home in heaven." I promise I'll not come and embarrass you. I'll not come and call you out, but I would love to pray for you. If you're here tonight, you say, "I'm not sure about my salvation," would you just slip your hand up in the air so I can see it? I'd love to pray for you, all right? All right, it means I'm talking to a lot of Christians tonight. Make this altar, make your pew in just a moment a place to do business with God. God has something for you. He has more for you in this Christian life. Help us to spend our life living for him. Father, I pray you bless the invitation now. In Jesus' name, amen.